Good afternoon. We are still with the book, The Art of Spiritual Healing, by Joel S. Goldsmith. And we are entering part two, Spiritual Healing, The Role of Treatment. He's going to explain what treatment is and how to do it. So this is chapter 6, Developing a Healing Consciousness. And he begins with, treatment is a technique employed to lift consciousness to such an elevation that a contact with God is established, which permits spiritual power to flow. It is a recognition of spiritual truth, the purpose of which is to reveal an already existing state of divine harmony. So there you have it. Divine harmony is already existing where you are. But you're unaware of it. However, if you employ treatment, as he describes it here, it will lift you into a recognition of an already existing divine harmony. This realization, which also means discernment, spiritual discernment and realization are the same thing. So when he says something like realization of oneness, it means discerning spiritual oneness. This realization on the part of the person giving the treatment reveals the spiritual identity of the one who has asked for healing, because there is one spiritual identity. And if you recognize it where you are, because of omnipresence, you recognize it where your patient is. As has been pointed out, anyone who practices spiritual healing must rise above the level of appearances, above the discords of corporeal sense, of personal sense, to a higher plane of consciousness, where there is no person to be healed, and where there is room only for the Spirit of God. Treatment is necessary only because of a belief of humanhood has become ingrained in individual consciousness. This humanhood or personal sense cannot be overcome by trying to be good or by trying to think good thoughts, because any such attempt would merely be a shift from bad humanhood to good humanhood. Now, in the book Thunder of Silence, hang on, I'm going to see if I can find that. Well, I wasn't able to find it, but in one of his books, at the beginning of the chapter, he tells the story of someone who practiced meditation for years and years. Eventually, he came to the entrance to heaven, and he knocked. And God said, "Who's there?" And the student said, It's me. And God said, "Go away, there's no room here." And for years he went back into meditation, and for years he pondered that reply. finally he returned again to the door to heaven, and once again he knocked, and once again he was asked, "Who's there?" And he replied, "It's me." And once again the voice said, "Go away, there's no room." Again, he went into meditation. More years passed. A third time he approached the gate. He knocked at the door, and the voice said, "Who's there?" And he replied, "Thou art." And the voice said, "Come in. There never was room for me and thee." And we all read that story, I assume, and we smiled and continued with the rest of the chapter. But that story has great significance, because it's not only when you approach the kingdom of heaven and you knock at the door that your answer must be, "Thou art." It is in every single meditation that you ever have. So when he says here, it's a recognition of spiritual truth, the purpose of which is to reveal the already existing state of divine harmony. Your realization is a spiritual discerning that thou art the only presence. And this must take place in every single meditation. And so the purpose of treatment is to lift you above the thinking, reasoning, imitating mind into an actual spiritual discerning that thou art the only presence. And that must be in every one of your meditations. He says real spiritual progress begins when a person is no longer preoccupied with either human good or human evil, with health or disease, with wealth or poverty, but is able to penetrate beyond all that to the Christhood. Through spiritual discernment, that which has heretofore been identified as error or evil, normally and naturally disappears because it is no part of spiritual consciousness. So, you should know already from this chapter that spiritual healing has nothing to do with healing a person or a situation or a condition. Spiritual healing has to do with your treatment that lifts you into spiritual discerning of my presence. And in the discerning of the spiritual presence of the living God, error cannot exist. It is dissolved. Your conscious awareness of the living God dissolves all error. Consider for a moment the reason human beings are beset by so many problems. For generations, we have been prodigals, living on our own substance out in the world, not drawing on the Father, but living off one another to such a degree that we have lost the awareness of our true identity. Now, in a minute, he's going to say that you are an emanation of God. That's what the child of God is, an emanation of God. But we've lost our ability to spiritually discern that. We've lost our ability to be aware of that. Yes, here it is. Within us, this Christ, this emanation of God, lies dormant, covered over with layers and layers of human beliefs built up throughout the centuries. Human beings have been away from the Father's house for so long that they have forgotten their true parentage is of God. Now you look back at the centuries, and you may think of, the 1800s, when people were moving about in carriages. Maybe you think of the 1700s, when the first ships began to land on the coast, the east coast of the United States. It wasn't the United States, of course, it was America. Or maybe you think of the 1500s. Or maybe you go back to the early Egyptians and the pyramids. Or maybe you go back even farther to Atlantis and Lemuria. Maybe you go back even farther. Maybe you think of Moses and the Ten Commandments. Maybe you think of the first cavemen after the dinosaurs. But the point is, all these many lifetimes, we have been gathering experiences. Sometimes we died a violent death, sometimes we died in our bed. Each time we gathered experiences, I'm a human, my life is ending. We gathered experiences, I'm being born. I have a baby's body, I have a toddler's body, I have a youth's body, I have a teenager's body, I have a young adult's body, I have a middle-aged body, I have an old body. Slowly we've put on layers after layers after layers of human experience. And now, Joel comes along and tells us, you are an emanation of God. Well, it sounds lovely and we like to entertain it in our minds, but that's not enough. That is not enough. You and I, all of us in this group, and there are over 230 of us now, we must be the ones who are willing to go beyond entertaining these thoughts about the truth to the actual living experience, the spiritual discernment of that emanation of God, of our true identity. In this age, man's true self is again being revealed. And the time has come when he must awaken to the nature and character of his being. To to that Christhood which is his spiritual destiny. In this awakening process, he dies to his humanhood that he may be reborn of the Spirit. Now, we've all used that expression, reborn of the Spirit. You must die and be born again. We hear it from Christians all the time. You must die and be reborn. But what does it actually mean? Is it some strange experience that takes place? Is it some far-off thing? No. No, it's in your own mouth that you might know it and do it. When you practice spiritual healing, as described in this book, in this chapter, you begin by giving yourself a treatment so that you come into the inner knowing there is no person here. There is no person to be healed either. And so I'm done with that. I'm not going to wrestle with that anymore. When someone asks me for help, or when I become aware of a problem, I am going to turn within, and I'm going to drop it. I am going to turn within and have a treatment. Lift myself up over the belief in two, until by knowing the truth, I relax. By knowing the truth, I rest. By knowing the truth, I come into a state of peace. I come into a silence. Silence, again, is not an absence of sound. Silence is an absence of self. And so I come into an absence of self, and I rest. And something within takes over. I feel its movement. I come into the realization of the presence of God. I spiritually discern through my soul faculty the actual presence of the living God, of the Christ. I spiritually discern the emanation of God. Wow. Thank you, Father. I am. Now, when I come into that conscious awareness, that spiritual discernment, that realization, and these are all the same thing, and I rest in it, and I behold it, and I bear witness to it, I am living by the Spirit. I have been born of the Spirit. No longer living by my muscles, no longer living by my reason, by the God of reason. No, I'm living by conscious awareness. I'm living by spiritual discernment. I'm living by discerning spirit. And that is being born of the Spirit. Now, my first few steps in that direction won't be perfect because I'll interpret it, and it may give me the feeling to go right, and I was supposed to go left. I thought that was the right feeling, but it wasn't. So I practice some more. I get more familiar with it. I become comfortable with its leading. I begin to follow the right voice. And when it says turn right, I turn right, and it's right. It's correct. I am beginning to live by the Spirit. This becomes a spiritual experience, no longer a human experience, a spiritual experience. A treatment is a rising in consciousness above that which can be seen, heard, tasted, touched, or smelled, in order to perceive that which is real. And here's an example of a treatment that he gives himself. These states of limitation do not exist. They are merely images of the mind, appearances. But the truth is that the kingdom of God, the realm of eternal life and harmony, is within me. It is not to be achieved. It is already within me. Because of this, I can always turn within and come into the full realization or discerning of the kingdom. Now, my only function is to become aware of its isness, to realize, to discern that it already is, and therefore I have nothing to seek. And then he rests there. Knowing the truth, declaring and thinking about the truth are mental processes. They are steps that lead to spiritual discernment. He told us in the Art of Meditation that contemplation, contemplating truth, would lead us to meditation. Contemplating truth would reach the place where all thoughts about truth comes to an end. And we sit in the silence, and we listen. And in the silence, we are meditating. So contemplation leads to meditation. And here, treatment, which is a mental process, leads to spiritual discernment. Such mental processes do not heal anything, nor do they bring harmony into individual experience. No, this first part here, where he contemplates, these states of limitation do not exist, they are merely images in the mind, appearances. All of that is mental process, and it does not heal. That's not the treatment that heals. That's the treatment that lifts you into receptivity so that you can hear the voice, the still small voice of God. Whether that voice is an actual voice speaking, whether that voice is an impression of the truth, or whether that voice is an inner movement that you feel. such mental processes do not heal anything, nor do they bring harmony into individual experience. The purpose of treatment is to lift consciousness to that point where spiritual discernment or realization takes place. So those two are interchangeable, realization or spiritual discernment. Realization of oneness is spiritually discerning oneness. There is a procedure in treatment which may prove helpful to you. First of all, when a person asks for help, assure him that he will be given help. Then drop the name or identity of the person and recognize the nature of the claim as of the carnal mind. Now, I see the carnal mind as world mind, a mind thinking about a world separate and apart from God. Drop the name or identity of the person and recognize the nature of the claim as of the carnal or world mind. Do not think of the patient. Do not think of the body. Do not think of the condition again, but turn immediately to God. Keep your mind stayed on God. That's what he tells us to do. Turn from the problem. Begin your contemplation with the word God. Your meditation may take some such form as this. What do I know about God? I would probably go next to God is. But he went to, in the beginning, God. God made all that was made, and all that God made was good. Anything that God did not make was not made. Therefore, since we have a body, God made that body, and it must be made of the substance of God, perfect, spiritual, harmonious. In the body of God's creating, there cannot be a disease or a cause for disease or pain, nor can there be an effect such as disease, pain, discord, or inharmony. So he's contemplating the fact that in the beginning God made all that was made, including body. But we don't see or feel, we're not aware, we don't discern the body that God made. No, we feel, we know a human body. God is life eternal. If God is life eternal, there certainly cannot be a presence or a power anywhere in heaven or on earth to lessen that eternality, to change it, alter it, or to interfere with it. Therefore, in the allness of God, no cause for pain can be found, no cause of disease, and no effect such as pain or disease. God is the substance of all being, for God is the substance of which the universe is made. How many times has he said, this is a spiritual universe? It means the universe is made out of spirit. But saying those words or reading them or hearing him say them is useless unless we use that to contemplate it, to come to a place of stillness where we can spiritually discern, get the feel of the spiritual universe. Then, of course, we relax in omnipresence. And that awareness, that discernment, that knowing omnipresence is what heals. God is law, the only law. If God is the only law, there cannot be a law of inharmony, such as a law of disease, a law of separation, a law of infection or contagion. They are not reality, and they are not cause. God alone is the law, and God is the law of harmony unto his creation, maintaining and sustaining it. God is love, and since God is infinite, love is the all-power and the all-presence. So you see, he's contemplating. Now, that contemplation does not heal. This part of the treatment, this knowing of the truth, is a mental process, and a mental process doesn't heal. But a mental process can bring you to a point where thought slows down. It becomes quiet. A peace comes upon you. And a faculty, a soul faculty, opens up, and you feel an inner movement. You feel spirit. That is what heals, and nothing else. Notice that the treatment is always a recognition of the nothingness of the condition, and deals only with God and the qualities of God. God is infinite good, the infinite all, the infinite presence, the infinite effect. Finally, the realization or discernment is achieved that God really is all in all. And besides God, there is nothing else. And by that time, you will have come to see that there cannot be such a thing as a patient. Because there could not be a person, personality, or individual apart from God. Nor could there be a condition or circumstance apart from God. You must know every bit of truth you can know. Take every synonym for God you can possibly find and see it in its relationship to individual being. Every truth you know about God is the truth about individual man, since the principle is that God and man are one. All right, so your part of the treatment, or rather the treatment you give to yourself to lift yourself out of a mental process. It's funny, isn't it? You use a mental process to lift yourself out of a mental process. But that's what we have to work with. And so you know every bit of truth you can know until you succeed. One day you're doing this and you slide into silence. You don't even know you've done that until you feel an inner movement. You feel the spirit on the face of the deep, which is the movement across your consciousness. Ah, you rest, you relax. You know it's the presence, the living presence. That is what heals. That depth of knowing. To think of man as being sick or sinning and in need of God is to lose the effect of the treatment. The treatment must embody the realization of the great truth, "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me." God and his manifestation are one. Now you must spiritually discern that. And so you know every bit of truth that will lift you out of knowing truth into discerning truth. He says, one morning, in answer to a call, God gave me the strangest treatment that has ever come to me in all my years of work. The words I heard were, God the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And that was all. I did not understand it, so I sat there with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I must have repeated those words 12 or more times, very slowly, trying to see if I could get a meaning out of it. And then, suddenly, like a bolt of lightning, it came. Why, yes, yes, you know that God is the Father, certainly. God is the Father, but God is also the Son. Are we not all sons of the one Father? Well then, no son of God can be in any trouble or difficulty as long as he realizes his sonship. Now, realize means discern. No son of God can be in trouble as long as he discerns his Father, his sonship. And the Holy Ghost, that is our awareness of the oneness of God and man. So it's the Holy Ghost that heals. And the Holy Ghost is your awareness or your discerning of God the Father. God the Son being one emanation. The treatment was as simple as that, and the healing took place with the realization, the discerning, that God is the only being, the only identity, eternally about the Father's business of glorifying the Father. Now, because you study truth and listen to truth, read truth, it doesn't mean that you are protected from problems. It's not like carrying a rabbit's foot, which will give you good luck. In fact, it's not going to do anything for you. Unless you remember, wait a minute, there's a second part to this. There's a second part. Joel tells me the second part is the most important part. And the second part is our awareness of this oneness of God and man. So he says a treatment can last all day or all night. Or it can be of a minute's duration. Sure. Sure, you're in the middle of the day, you just got home from work, you read your email, somebody's reaching out for help, you close your eyes, and your mind is a grand central station of thoughts. Everything. Did I feed the cat? Did I pay the bills? What was I going to watch on TV? Do I really want to look at the news? What should I say to my wife when she gets home? Should I offer to do the cooking tonight? All this is running through your mind, and you're trying to give yourself a treatment. So, it may take a couple of hours. Finally, you can feel an inner shift. Yes, you're getting closer. Now you can take God. God. God is. God is what? God is ising. God is the only presence in this universe. God is the presence of this universe. this universe and the presence are one. Am I not in this universe? I am. I and the Father, and the Father and me, I and God are one. One presence, and I am the emanation of that presence. All that the Father has is mine, because all that the Father is, the emanation is. Same presence, same law, same cause, same love, same wisdom, same harmony. All that God is, I am. Now I slow down. All right, Father, reveal thyself. I'm still. I'm listening. Now it's been 2 hours since I sat down. This is taking a long time tonight. God is closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Closer than breathing. Be still. Be still. My peace I give unto thee. Ah, yes, there it is. I am discerning this presence. I'm feeling it. This is the word that heals. Let me be still before it. Speak, beloved. Thy servant, thy lover heareth. I go before thee to make the crooked places straight. I go before thee to prepare a place for thee. I go before thee. I made a spiritual universe. You are my spiritual universe. And now I will sit here until the feeling of the presence subsides. The 2 hours of work are over. I rest in the discernment of the living God. Whatever the length of your treatment, it is a good treatment if it leads back to the realization or discerning of God as individual being. Every treatment should be spontaneous because an already made up treatment is of less value than no treatment at all. Certainly no two treatments should or will be alike. Therefore, do not try to use the same treatment tomorrow that you used today. You might give the most powerful treatment in the world today, one which lifts you to a place in consciousness where somebody is raised from the dead, and yet find that tomorrow it won't even heal a headache. If you are called upon to give 100 treatments in a day, they must be 100 different treatments. Your treatment, my friends, is not finished until God, Spirit, moves over the face of the deep. Until the presence moves across your consciousness, which is so still, it barely ripples. The use of words, formulas, or statements of truth in the sense of treatment is as useless as trying to get today's news out of yesterday's newspaper or trying to pick yesterday's manna. Yes, all that is vain repetitions. Do not try to use the inspiration of today for treatment tomorrow. Inspiration will come at any moment that there is a need, because your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. There is no one treatment or form of treatment that meets every need. This is because all human beings live at different levels. Furthermore, not only is each person at a different state or stage of consciousness, but any one person is at a different stage of consciousness on different days. Inasmuch as no one is always on the same level of consciousness, a treatment must meet the needs of the particular state of consciousness of the particular person on the particular day. Well, you say, I can't do that. And you will be right. You can't. What are you to do then? You are to know the truth by a mental process until you come to the end of your part of knowing the truth. And then you are to rest there. Rest. Don't use a mental process. You rest. You listen. You're receptive. You wait upon the Lord. Your soul faculty begins to open up. You sense a presence. You're not sure what it is, but it brings with it a sense of peace. And you're comfortable in that peace. And so you lean back. Ah, thank you, Father. And you're silent. Suddenly the word comes to you. Be not afraid, it is I. Yes, you say, I. It's that I within. That's the emanation of God. I and my Father are one. I and this presence are one. And it's this presence that meets the need of every level of consciousness. And so I don't have to meet it, I only have to observe, behold, bear witness. It will meet the need. How wonderful, again, to discover it's not up to me. It's up to I within. I, the living presence. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The treatment is the realization of the problem as but the carnal mind or world mind. And the treatment always remains on the level of God. As a practitioner, you have no advice to offer, and therefore you have nothing to do with the human aspects of the case, because the human picture has no relationship whatsoever to the divine. So someone says, I need your help. My wife, who you know, Susan, and I are having difficulties. And you say, what kind of difficulties? Because you're not in the state of consciousness where you can say, oh, I'll get right to work on it. You just came from work. You're thinking like a human being. What kind of problems? Then he describes, or she describes, Susan's problems. Stop. You must remind yourself to stop. No human advice. You stop. Oh, okay, let me get to work. I'll call you back, or you call me back. Put down the phone or close the email, and you get to work. Doing what? Knowing every bit of truth you can know. Not about humans. There's no truth about humans. Truth about God. You know every truth you can about God. God, omnipresence. God, eternal. God, immortal. God, infinite. God, emanating itself. All right. When you get to the end of your knowing the truth, you find yourself at peace. You find yourself being still, being silent, opening yourself to God's Word. You don't hear any words, no voice. But suddenly there's a feeling of an inner movement. This is the Holy Ghost, and you feel it, you discern it. This is the second half of the treatment, where you stop. Father, speak. And you remain there until the feeling subsides. And then you get up and go about your business. Go ahead and help your wife make dinner. Or if it's your turn, you make dinner. Spiritual work is not patching up the human scene. No. We are not repairing humanhood. I know. Someone called you and says, I tripped and fell and I think I broke my ankle. And immediately you want to patch up the scene. That's not what spiritual healing is. That's called medicine. You take an x-ray, you say, yes, there's a fracture. You wrap it in bandages, you put a cast on it. You wait for it to mend back together. But that's not what we're doing. What then is spiritual healing? You have to know by now. We're halfway through this chapter. Spiritual healing is giving yourself the treatment. You're treating, knowing the truth about God. You're not working on patching up a human anything. I have been taught that this is nothingness. Yes, it appears as something. Yes, it is an appearance. But it has no law, no cause, no substance. The substance is the same as the mirage in the desert. That's what this is, a mirage. It looks scary, it looks frightening, but it's a mirage. I don't have to work that hard. I don't have to work on mirages. And so now I let it go. Yes, what is the truth about God? And before I could get that out, the feeling of the presence flowed through and is flowing through my head, the top of my head, through it. So I will be still. So, this is an appearance, but the presence is here. I am discerning the presence. And it is about the Father's business. So now I will behold. Father, reveal thyself, thy business, thy presence. And it subsides, it seems to diminish, though it doesn't really, and I'm done. That's the treatment. The most important part wasn't all my affirmations or denials. The most important part was that feeling of the presence, that discerning the presence. Because discernment, awareness, realization dissolves the appearance. I don't know how, I only know that it does from years of practice. And it does. So, what is spiritual healing? The first part is the treatment I give myself in order to let go of any appearance. The second part is the treatment that God gives, which dissolves the appearance. He uttered his voice, the earth was dissolved. I came into the spiritual discernment of the presence, and the problem disappeared. This is a fantastic book, isn't it? The directions are clear-cut and divine. Well, I don't want to go on, because we still have another half of the chapter, and we're at 59 minutes. So, let us be still and see if there's anything else before we draw this to a completion. Yes, I don't want to forget to say thank you for coming together and drawing this out. It was a spiritual experience for me today. And if you were still, if you were quiet, if you were listening, it was also a spiritual experience for you. So thank you so, so much. May love go with you. And may you find your own stillness and hear your own voice within. May you feel the Comforter forever. Amen.